Our reading for this morning comes from the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, on page 873 in your church Bibles, which you'll find in the tray in front of you. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 31. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all round my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth, for reading that for us. Please have it open in front of you. And if you're wondering why we're in Ezekiel at Christmas time, can I say it's a great book. It's a book full of promise and full of wonderful wisdom, and it looks forward to so many things. So have it open in front of you, as I say, Ezekiel 34, page 873, if you're finding my page number. And before we look at that together, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of your word, and we ask that it will speak to us now and that we will listen. In Jesus' name, amen. A question for you. In the Christmas story, where were the shepherds? Well, obviously they started on the hillside with the sheep, and then an angel appeared and told them that the promised king that they'd all been waiting for so long had come. And what's more, he'd been born in nearby Bethlehem, just like Micah had said he would be. We heard about that yesterday, you remember. And the angel then gave them directions on how to find him. So very soon, they were standing, or perhaps, I suspect, kneeling, around a manger. And it's the scene we all know so well from a million Christmas cards. But there's actually one more shepherd in this picture, isn't there? The most important shepherd of them all. And he's not beside the manger. He's in it. Centuries before, the prophet Ezekiel had written about shepherds. Now, the context, of course, for Ezekiel was exile. When he wrote, Jerusalem was in ruins. Huge numbers had been killed, and most of the survivors had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar into exile in Babylon. Prophets, of course, in the Bible, always spoke the message God gave them. And here, God had given Ezekiel a message all about shepherds. They were corrupt and useless shepherds. Shepherds, of course, is simply a picture language way of saying the leaders of the nation. And these leaders had utterly failed their people. Instead of protecting them from predators, they had become themselves predators. Instead of keeping them safe, they'd scattered them. And you will have noticed that five times in these verses, Ezekiel uses that word, scattered. And not surprisingly, in verse 6, the scattered sheep, of course, become wandering sheep. And says Ezekiel sadly, no one searched or looked for them. You can hear the heartbreak, actually, can't you, in the words. So in verse 10, God pronounced his judgment on these shepherds. I am against them, he says. And then he says, I will remove them and I will hold them accountable. which is quite a sobering thought. What's more, God said, they may be the shepherds, but the sheep belong to me, and I will intervene to rescue them. Verse 22, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. So, is this plan to replace lots of bad shepherds then with lots of good shepherds? Well, actually, it wasn't. The plan was to replace lots of bad shepherds with just one good shepherd. And that's in verse 23. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And my servant David shall be a prince among them. Well, the real original David, of course, had lived and died centuries before Ezekiel's time. He had been Israel's original shepherd king. And Ezekiel is not just looking backwards. It isn't just wistful thinking, and it certainly isn't some sort of reincarnation. He's looking forwards to another greater shepherd king who will be born just as David was in Bethlehem and descended from the royal line of David, great David's greater son. When Jesus came centuries later and told the people, I am the good shepherd, he was actually laying claim to these verses in Ezekiel 34, and I suspect many of his audience that day would have recognized exactly what he was saying. But how would he do that? And Ezekiel, writing all those years before, takes these verses to tell us exactly how. And the first thing we see is that he will search for the sheep. After all the opening verses, where the spotlight is on the bad shepherds, the scene changes very dramatically in verse 11. You can feel the pendulum swing. And Ezekiel starts to show us God's answer to the problem. Unlike the bad shepherds of Ezekiel's time, who scattered and even devoured the sheep, the good shepherd, he said, will go out to search for them and find them. Verse 11, I will search for my sheep. And verse 16, I will search for the lost. It's the same picture that Jesus gave us when he told his famous parable, isn't it, in Luke 15. You know the chapter, the good old lost and found chapter, if you came from the sort of background that I did. The shepherd who went looking for the lost sheep. It's what Jesus said about himself again further on in Luke's gospel. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I know it's Christmas time, but it's still possible to come to a service like this, actually inside, quietly feeling lost. Smiling on the outside, well, it's Christmas, isn't it? And screaming on the inside. If so, God wants you to know this morning there is a shepherd who is searching for you. In fact, he's more anxious to find you than you may be to find him. And even if you're not feeling lost, God's word tells us, doesn't it, that without Jesus we nevertheless are lost. In fact, there's actually nothing more lost in all the world than being without Jesus. It's why he came. And if that's good news, then in verse 12 we discover there's even better news. God's good shepherd doesn't just simply call us home, he brings us home. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness, and I will bring them out and gather them into their own land. We have a gathering God. It's one of those things that all through the Bible story, God is always doing. He doesn't scatter, he gathers. And Ezekiel in his day, of course, was looking back perhaps to Exodus and that great first gathering out of Egypt, and was very much looking forward, I'm sure, to being gathered out of exile, which they would all have hated. But God has always gathered, and he still is gathering. This morning, here in church, we know we have a gathering God. And perhaps if you too, as Ezekiel says, are lost in his words, clouds and darkness, please know something else that Jesus said. that the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. That's John 10, isn't it? And when they listen to his voice, he leads them home. But then verses 12 to 16 tell us something else the promised shepherd will do. And the second thing he will do is he will care for the sheep. Verse 12, so I will look after my sheep. And verse 15, I myself will tend my sheep. The one who searched for the sheep and gathered the sheep is going to look after his sheep. Verse 13, as we work through this chapter, I will pasture them on the mountains. And the next verse, I will tend them in good pasture. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture. I wonder if that reminds you of somewhere else in the Old Testament. The original servant David knew a good shepherd when he saw one. And he did know a good shepherd, and he wrote about him, didn't he, in one of his psalms. The Lord, he said, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I wonder how well Ezekiel knew the 23rd Psalm. I suspect he knew it very well and was very happy to reflect it in what he was writing. The shepherd who loved us enough to rescue us will go on loving us right to the very end. And when life hurts, and sometimes life does hurt, he promises in verse 16, I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. First, he finds us in our weakness, and then he gives us his strength. But the rest of these verses promise something perhaps you don't normally associate with sheep. And it says in these verses from 25 through 31 that the shepherd will make a covenant with the sheep. I suspect real sheep would have been more interested in grass than covenants. But these sheep, of course, are his people. Now, that's explained in case there was any doubt whatsoever, and I'm sure there isn't, in the very last verse of all, where Ezekiel explains that these are human sheep. And what the shepherd has brought them, and of course us this morning, is a covenant, a new covenant. There already was, of course, a covenant. God had made a covenant with Noah and a covenant with Abraham and a covenant with David. But Ezekiel is looking forward to another one. One that this good shepherd will bring. Now, what's a covenant? Well, in the Bible, of course, a covenant is an unbreakable promise that God makes to his people. Just as the promise of the good shepherd found its fulfillment in Jesus, so the promises of God's new covenant will find their fulfillment in Jesus. And you will remember it was in the upper room just before the crucifixion that Jesus actually announced it. This cup, he said, is the new covenant in my blood. That new covenant that Ezekiel had foretold had in that moment arrived. And what's more, says Jesus, it will be made possible through the cross. So if God's good shepherd has brought us a new covenant, what does he promise to bring us in that covenant? Well, that's what the rest of the verses are about, isn't it? And in verse 25, we find that the first thing that the covenant of Jesus will bring is a covenant of peace. I will make with them a covenant of peace, he says. You will remember, perhaps, how the angels announced the arrival of Jesus. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I did a quick count at home, and I found that at least five, perhaps more, of my Christmas cards has a dove of peace on it. Peace is at the heart of the Christian message, because it's only by being reconciled to God through faith in Christ that peace is made possible, and the reconciliation that we need and the world needs. We can't be at peace with either ourselves or others, we read, until we have peace with God. And it's one of the last promises that Jesus made to us, isn't it, before he went back to heaven. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. To know peace, we have to know the one Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. And then in verses 25 and 27 and 28, we find the second thing that this covenant from the Good Shepherd will bring. And the Shepherd will bring security. I will banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. It's not a text about wild camping. It's all about safety. And of course, seen from a sheep's point of view. If you're a sheep, I'm quite sure what you most fear is all those wild beasts that are out there. For us, what does it mean? It means the promise that in a threatening world, we can live unafraid. We've learnt that the answer to a frightening virus is a vaccine. But the answer to fear itself, which is something far, far bigger, is not a vaccine. It is Christ. It's not that the world will magically stop being a frightening place, or that nothing in life will ever hurt us. It's that whatever threat life brings, our Shepherd has promised to hold us safe and never leave us. And then in verse 26 again, we find the third thing that this covenant from the Shepherd brings, and it brings blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. I don't know what church you may have grown up in, or maybe you didn't grow up in a church, but I did, and I can remember a well-known hymn based on this verse. I will spare you the singing of it. You don't deserve that at Christmas time. But perhaps inside your head, you can sort of think of the tune. I can see one or two people nodding. You know it too. Showers of blessing. We met that word peace, of course, just now, back in verse 23. But our word peace, really, is a very inadequate translation of the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word, of course, is shalom. And shalom means far more than simply, well, what we mean by peace. It means blessing. It means joy. It means wholeness. It means fulfillment. We become complete in Christ, and we possess the rich blessings of God in Christ. It's what Paul wrote about in Ephesians 1, isn't it? And what's more, God promises to shower us with those blessings. He is a generous God as well as a gathering God. Now, I don't know whether you looked at a weather forecast this morning before you came out. I certainly did. Showers was the message for today, I'm afraid, and I'm afraid we're going to have to put up with them right through the day as well. And I know when we see the word showers on the weather forecast, we probably groan and think, oh, again. But showers, if you live in a country like Israel, don't mean just grey skies and endless dreary rain. In a hot place like that, showers were wonderful news. Life depended on showers. They meant life. They meant harvest. They meant abundance. It meant the crops would grow. And there would be water to drink. Verse 27, the trees shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. And verse 29, I will provide for them plantations so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land. It's not a promise of financial wealth. It's a promise that our loving Father will provide for us all that we most truly need. And then finally in verse 27, what does this shepherd's covenant bring? It brings deliverance. I will break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. Remember the context of Ezekiel, banishment, exile. Imagine how precious those words were to his audience in his day. And when the angel announced the name of Mary and Joseph's new baby, it turned out his name was to be Jesus, of course, as we translate it. But that really means deliverer, rescuer, savior, everything that Ezekiel had said he would be. Unto you is born this day, said the angel, in the city of David, a savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, Ezekiel never told us how he would do that, but Jesus himself did. The good shepherd, said Jesus in John's Gospel, lays down his life for the sheep. In Ezekiel's day, the bad shepherds of Israel were taking the lives of the sheep. Jesus came to give his life for the sheep. What a difference. God's solution to man's problem. Even standing at the manger, it turns out we can actually see the cross. The closing words here are, "You are my sheep, human sheep, of my pasture. And I am your God, declares the Lord," which is a wonderful affirmation. But how do we become sheep of his pasture? And how does he become our God? And how do we receive the deliverance that he speaks of? Well, we do what the shepherds did in the Christmas story. We come to Jesus, and we kneel before the one who came to be our King and our Saviour, the shepherd who was in the manger, and we put our trust in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the promise of Ezekiel, and far more than that, we thank you for the kept promise of Jesus, the one promised good shepherd, who not only loves his sheep and seeks for his sheep and rescues his sheep, but gives his life for the sheep, and then promises he will never leave them and never abandon them and will always provide for them. Father, by faith we wish to be your sheep, to trust you and follow our shepherd. Lord, help us to do that this morning and all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.